Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Thursday. And you can follow me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and another underscore after that. I wish you would. And we're also being more active with the Locked On Pistons Twitter account at that handle there, Locked On Pistons. Really easy one to remember there. So give us a follow on there if you would. That would be very helpful. Thank you, and I appreciate that. The Pistons fell 110-93 on Wednesday night to the lowly Dallas Mavericks in the Lone Star State. You can make an argument that this was the most embarrassing and toughest loss of the season for the Pistons, as the Mavericks came in with the worst record in the Western Conference. You can also make an argument for that loss to the LA Lakers being the worst one, as that was on national TV, NBA TV as well. But that was after the Pistons had the road victories against the Clippers and the Warriors, so playing with a little house money back then. This one was coming off right kind of off the heels of that seven-game losing streak that they had recently, although they did pick up the last three before this loss to Dirk and the Mavs. We're going to go over that loss a little bit to the Mavericks and give some of my reasons for concern the rest of the way. It's 82-game schedule. Pistons are having a pretty fine start to the season, all in all. Some peaks and valleys so far this year. But I will give some of the reasons that maybe 2018 won't shape out to a strong second part of the schedule for the Pistons. Three things that you should be looking at and maybe worried about a little bit going forward as well. We're also going to give some Christmas gifts to the Pistons, as I know that the Locked On Pistons listeners are probably last-minute shoppers as well, and look ahead a little bit to the upcoming schedule as well as the holidays are approaching. But speaking of holidays, bowl season is here, and it's time to get in on the new action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for payout? Sign up at mybookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the bowl games, you got to bet on mybookie.ag. They're the only site that I would recommend. They have odds on every matchup, as well as in-game live betting on all the season's NFL and bowl games. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. So go ahead and join. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at MyBookie. And my mom said to bet responsibly as well. She mentioned that in the last podcast when I did the read for MyBookie that we should mention that you should gamble responsibly. Do gamble, but do it responsibly. I don't know if she exactly said that, but something like that. Anyway, but the first time in a while, the Pistons had a couple of days off before a game. And what did they do with it? Well, they got crushed by one of the worst teams in the league. Actually, the first time since the November 27th game against the Boston, that was the last, against the Boston Celtics on the road, the big win. That was the last time the Pistons had more than one day off before games. In fact, the last 11 games the Pistons had before last night, they had just one or less days of rest going into it. So that snapped the three-game losing streak. Avery Bradley on the bench with the groin injury for the third straight game. Interestingly enough, it wasn't Luke Kennard who got the start instead of him. Reggie Bullock remained in the starting lineup, as it looks like Stanley Johnson to the bench and Reggie Bullock as the starter is kind of a permanent thing. But Anthony Tolliver got the surprise start for the Pistons. And in the words of Charles Barkley, Anthony Tolliver was fantastic. He had 18 points and four triples. AT was really good. AD, Andre Drummond, 11 points and 13 rebounds in 22 minutes in a solid game for him. And Stanley Johnson adjusting well some games to his role off the bench. He had 16 points and Ish Smith added 15 for the Pistons, but they were pretty much outmatched. Late in the first half, the Mavericks went on a 17-2 run to finish the half to go up double digits heading into the locker room. The ninth pick in the NBA draft, Dennis Smith Jr. out of North Carolina State. He just abused Reggie Jackson at the end of the first half during that 17-2 run. Two of them on one-on-one situations, pull-up three-pointer, where Reggie just kind of seemed uninterested and almost fell over while he was trying to defend the dynamic rookie point guard. And then kind of shook him and got an and-one on the very last offensive play of the half for the Mavericks. But Dennis Smith Jr. came back from injury and played really well. And Reggie Jackson, on the other hand, played very not well for the Pistons. It was not also other interesting note, it was not a very good night if you're on Team Boban, as he got some minutes with Drummond and Moreland in first half foul trouble, and showed some of the reasons why Stan Van Gundy can't have him in the lineup, certainly consistently, and maybe sometimes at all, as Dirk Nowitzki, Harrison Barnes, I mean, those guys just really took it to him at certain times. Rick Carlisle was playing the lineup juggling game. If when Boban was in there, he'd put a Dirk type in there, someone that, you know, couldn't be defended by Boban with the some of the pick and pop action that Dirk had against Boban. And then there was a rotation that he missed as well, as Harris tried to step in and help with the interior defense as Dennis Smith drove on the other side of the court, and Boban tried to rotate out on Harrison Barnes, but a wide open three during that late first half stretch that ended up being the important one and the deciding one throughout the season. But it's a tough stretch. It's a tough game. And if you're talking about this stretch where the Pistons have now lost, I guess it would be 8 games out of the last 11. You just got to survive these types of stretches in the NBA. Part of it was schedule, but there's no excuses on schedule for this one, that's for sure, as the Pistons had a little bit of rest and were going out on the road against one of the worst teams in the NBA. But that being said, Dallas, I don't think this is Atlanta. I don't think this is the banged-up Orlando team that we saw the other day. Dallas has a lot of talent. When they get Dennis Smith Jr. back, like they did on Wednesday night, this is certainly not the pushover that maybe some of those other teams, the Eastern Conference bottom-of-the-barrel teams, might be. So I'm not sounding the alarms quite yet, but I did see some things that did concern me, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on in the show, things to keep an eye on, and 3 things that could maybe kill the season if they continue happening like they are. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, then this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable, so email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later, we'll be talking about Christmas gifts for the Detroit Pistons and a little bit about the upcoming schedule. And I guess those 2 things could be one and the same in a little bit of ways as well. And after this loss to the Dallas Mavericks on Wednesday night, I'm not going to yell and scream. And maybe that would make for some good pod if I did. But if you're looking for some signs in the negative direction, and I know that there's a lot of fans out there who are, that the 2018 portion of the Pistons season could be a bit of a disaster. They are certainly there. And the first one that I'm going to be talking about tonight is Tobias Harris. As Vince Ellis said on Twitter, there could be a little bit of a regression to the mean happening right now with the Pistons power forward. In the last 5 games, he's had shooting nights of 0-for-7 against Denver, 2-for-14 against Indiana, and then tonight 4-for-16 against Dallas in a big loss. December, he's back down to earth on his 3-pointers to 38% for the month, and that's after months of 44% in October and 49% in November to open the season. So the Tobias Harris that we saw really early on in the year, maybe the first fourth of the season or so, is really not the same guy that we've seen of the past 10 or so games. Tougher opponents, better scouting reports, people figuring out the Pistons' new look offense. Of course, all of those things are factors, but Tobias Harris isn't really getting buckets right now, and that's going to be a problem. For a go-to scorer who is not scoring, that's going to be quite a big deal and something to look out for going forward. The second thing that I think could be a reason that the Pistons season could unravel down the road is Reggie Jackson is not looking healthy right now. It was probably the biggest story, or one of the big 3 stories, I guess, if you throw Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond in there. But one of the main stories for the Pistons' resurgence is he was kind of looking like the Reggie from 2 years ago that was, you know, a borderline all-star type of player and someone who was the leader of a surprise team that had a really good season that the Pistons did. But like I said, he's not looking healthy right now after a knee tendonitis that kind of shut down all of his conditioning coming into the regular season. And maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe he is tired. Maybe it is knee problems. But when you don't condition over the offseason, maybe you're not ready for the 82-game grind that a player who was able to get their body ready for the season was ready to have. There's nothing to suggest right now that he's back at the level that he was 2 years ago. He's not as bad as he was last year when he was playing. That's for sure. You know, really one of the worst point guards in the NBA. But lately, his minutes are down, so Stan Van Gundy's certainly seeing something there. His field goal percentage is lately down, and his turnovers are up during this tough stretch. And we saw it kind of in a snippet from Wednesday's game when Dennis Smith Jr. came in. And there aren't a lot of point guards that can guard Dennis Smith Jr. He's going to be a problem for point guards in this league for many, many years. But he just looks so shaky in one-on-one situations. And we know Reggie Jackson's not a very good offense or not a very good defensive player, and he's going to have problems with your average point guards. But you throw a dynamic guy in there like Dennis Smith, and during that 17-2 run, those are two plays that really stood out, is Reggie Jackson just getting dominated by a rookie who was coming off of a multi-game injury that he had had and wasn't even sure if he was going to play coming into this game. The third thing that kind of concerns me that could throw this season off the rails, and it's one loss. I'm not saying that the season is off the rails, but if you're trying to be negative and trying to look for some reasons that things might go haywire here, is that Stan Van Gundy might just be getting on the nerves of his players. And we don't really have a lot of evidence that that's happening, but we've seen some situations where they could be bothersome to some of the players. Some of the rookies like Luke Kennard and some of the veteran players like Andre Drummond. For instance, Kennard, the other night, he didn't start against Dallas on Wednesday after the Orlando situation where he was pulled before a minute into his second career start. They yanked him for struggling or screwing up an offensive play and then not doing some double teaming on defense. So Stan Van Gundy, and he admitted on Tuesday in practice, kind of a fake apology, I believe that was maybe Monday in practice, a fake apology that he talked about for maybe he gave him a little bit too much of a quick hook. And then not bringing Andre Drummond back into the game against Dallas, something that Duncan Smith was tweeting about during the game and after the game on Wednesday night after the Mavericks lost, that the Pistons were struggling quite a bit in the third and fourth quarters, and that Drummond was having a pretty good game when he was in, but with the Pistons needing some kind of spark if they were going to have some kind of comeback in that game against Dallas, Stan Van Gundy elected to keep Andre Drummond on the bench throughout the night. Now, this is a guy that I still think is an all-star, certainly the most important player on the Pistons. For him to have a 22 minutes in a game that he was playing pretty well, that is a bit of a problem. Now, I don't read all that much into that in that single instance of Drummond not coming back, and I'm not going to say Stan Van Gundy can't coach or isn't the right coach for that team or something like that. He said after the game on Wednesday that he thought his team wasn't competing, so there was no reason for him to bring back Andre Drummond and maybe some of the other starters as well. But I believe that Andre Drummond deserves a chance to try to lift this team into some of those doldrum games. Maybe he can go off and start and spark something for this team as they wanted to make a comeback. It's not like they were playing a back-to-back or anything like that. They had 2 days of rest beforehand, so it wasn't like a situation where Drummond needed the rest or something like that. But in Stan Van Gundy's defense, it did kind of look like a throwaway effort. There weren't any signs in the third or fourth quarters that the Pistons were going to come back and make a run. But maybe Drummond, if he came back, and then would have provided that. So it's something that people talk a lot about. The NBA Twitter crowd, the Pistons Twitter crowd, is how different five-man lineups play with each other. I'm not crazy about those stats unless there's something that really, really stands out on those. All of them are pretty much small sample sizes, and I think that those numbers are kind of outliers that have more to do with whether individuals are playing well at those times. I think segments of those kind of stats might work out, maybe certain two-man groups that should play together. Assuming 2 years ago that the numbers when Andre and Reggie were on the court together running the pick and roll, I'm assuming those were very good. Maybe if you can have some statistics to back up that certain backcourts play well together or defensive combinations play well together, because maybe one guy can handle some of the offense, one guy can handle some of the defense, maybe the way that they fit on court skill set-wise or size-wise or something like that, maybe they can cohesively match up offensively and defensively, smaller two-man groups. But if you're looking at five-man units, about which ones work, and unless there's like a huge outlier out there with this guy can play well with these four guys or something like that, and some of the numbers that I see thrown out there as far as the sample sizes and really the ultimate amount of plus minus or whatever it is stat that you're going to be talking about, I don't really see that much of a value in that, even into 40 games in the season or wherever we're coming up on to. But in a larger point, I do kind of see an issue with Stan Van Gundy, and we know about his past. We know that he's worn players down, he's worn organizations down, he's worn teams down. And talking about not bringing Andre Drummond back into the game tonight, the Luke Kennard fiasco from Sunday, just the fragility of this team, I wonder if that there's something with Stan Van Gundy. And keep in mind that it's not just this season or this game or this week or this losing streak that they just had. Stan Van Gundy's been coaching Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond and now Tobias Harris for a couple years. These guys are used to him, for better or worse. They're in some ways probably sick of him. He's a tough guy to have to listen to day in and day out for season after season. And it's something for Stan Van Gundy and Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson and Tobias Harris and all those guys to be managing on a day in and day out basis. And Stan Van Gundy needs to be cognizant of that going forward, or else there's a chance. And I'm not saying we're halfway there or close to there, but if things roll downhill a little bit here over these next few weeks as the dog days of winter continues, it might be something to keep an eye on and for Stan Van Gundy to be aware of going forward. We're going to be talking about that upcoming schedule and forecasting whether this might go downhill a little bit from here. And also, we're going to give a plus sign about the Pistons going forward as we talk about that schedule and maybe some Christmas gifts for some of the players as well here on Locked On Pistons. So the Pistons returned to Detroit late on Wednesday night in preparation for Friday night's game against the New York Knicks. The Knicks will be coming off of a back-to-back as they're playing Thursday night against the Boston Celtics, and Kristaps Porzingis hasn't played two in a row, so we'll see if he plays on Thursday. I mean, if he does play on Thursday against the Celtics, possible that he might get given the rest on the back-to-back in Detroit on Friday. And Tim Hardaway Jr., their best perimeter player, he is already out with an injury. It sounds like he'll be coming back after Christmas sometime. So Pistons get a little bit of a break there with the New York Knicks, who are up in the Eastern Conference playoff standings right now. And Michael Beasley, don't look now, but he's playing pretty well. Had the really good game the other night against Carmelo Anthony and the Oklahoma City Thunder. But then the Pistons, Tuesday night, the night after Christmas, they will be back home at Little Caesars Arena to take on the Indiana Pacers before heading down to Florida on Thursday the 28th to play at Orlando in a rematch of the game that they played on Sunday at Little Caesars Arena. And then the Pistons will wrap up the 2017 portion of the schedule on Saturday night on December the 30th against the San Antonio Spurs, and we'll see who Greg Popovich throws into action on that game the night before New Year's Eve. And then the Pistons will have an unheard of 3 days off over the New Year holiday before returning to action and starting the 2018 slate with a game on January 3rd at Miami. Now, late in the Tuesday game, or the Wednesday game against the Mavericks tonight, I was realizing that I had to come up with some more content for tonight's podcast and figured that we might come up with some Christmas gifts for the Detroit Pistons players, coaches, front office, broadcasters, maybe people who follow the team, cover the team, whatever else. So I reached out and saw if you guys had any ideas, and it was a depressing, probably too late in the game. I think a lot of the Locked On Pistons listeners probably had already turned it off and maybe headed to bed, as I forgot that it was another hour later than the usual Pistons games for the Eastern Standard Time folks that you guys are. But I did have one guy reach out, Kung Fu Kenny on Twitter, at handle iken46, I-K-E-N-46. He was give the most depressing answer of the night. He said that we should give the Pistons effort because it's that thing we lose after we go down by 10. And obviously he was a disgruntled fan watching the Dallas Mavericks pick apart the Pistons on Wednesday night. But I wanted to throw it out to you guys, and hopefully I'll get some responses over Twitter at the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed. So reach out, and what would you give to some of your Detroit Pistons favorite players, maybe former players? Maybe you're going to give Charlie Villanueva a toilet to replace the one that was stolen from him in Dallas the other night. Or maybe there's some other ideas you have, serious ones, funny ones, whatever else. Who would you give some stocking stuffers, some big gifts, other things for Christmas for the Pistons players and others? But this has been your host, Matt Shook. You should follow me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and another underscore after that. Also follow the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed as well. Share this podcast with your friends and family. Subscribe on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever else you get podcasts. Visit the website where I post all the podcasts on LockedOnPistons.com. And thanks for listening, everyone, and we will talk to you all soon.